This is Patrick Patterson, and you're listening to the NTTB Podcast. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis.
And welcome into episode 24 of the NTTB podcast. As always, my name is Alex. I'm joined in by Anthony.
What's good tonight?
It's a lot of things good tonight. I mean, I came into this Cleveland game thinking that especially us being on the road, the Thunder would revert back to bad habits and things of that nature. Even with a three game winning streak coming in, I thought we would revert back. And I put out on Twitter that I thought we were going to lose by double digits at least. But that was not the case at all.
I was a little bit more confident seeing how Cleveland is like 2-800 in the last 802 games. So I was a little bit more confident that the game was going to be closer. I wasn't necessarily sure that we would do what we did, but I was fairly confident on a Saturday night. First of the primetime Saturday night games. Saturday games. You know, they had doubleheader. We had the early one that we would come out strong, and we did.
Yeah, I was, I should have known better because we usually perform pretty well against the top talent in the NBA. I don't know why I doubted them as far as how they were going to perform. You know, it just seems like, you know, the big three, a.k.a. also the big four, they just perform so much better during big games than they do during, you know, mediocre Tuesday night game against the Memphis Grizzlies or against the Brooklyn Nets that we got coming up here soon.
Yeah, get that redemption for the game in Mexico.
Yeah,
it just seems like we either play up or play down to the competition instead of just maintaining that even keel.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. So I kind of want to look at, before we even jump into the Cleveland game, just look back at this recent, you know, now it's a four-game win streak, but before that, you know, just the first three games of that win streak that happened this past week. So Saturday we played at Charlotte, and this was a little bit of a redemption game because they came to our place and they beat us pretty handily. We ended up winning 101-91. The Thunder entered the fourth quarter down by three, and the all-bench lineup was in there for the fourth quarter. And they went on a hell of a run. They went on a 22-8 run in the first 6 minutes of the fourth and basically won the game for the Thunder right then and there. And it was an all-bench lineup feature. And, it was
Raymond Felton, Patrick Patterson, Josh Huestis,
Grant,
and
was it Abrinas? I think
Abrinas got in late, but I don't think he started off initially.
I don't think it was Ferguson. I think it was Abrinas.
Yeah.
So basically, but the man of that quarter was Raymond Felton. Raymond Felton, you know, this is one of the things that Raymond Felton, when we signed him, something like last year that we missed big time was a competent backup point guard. You know, Samaj Christen did the best that he could in the circumstance as far as being the backup point guard to Russell Westbrook and being thrust into that role where when Russell leaves the game, he needs to go ahead and kind of keep it going. And he did the best he could, but he just, you know, he wasn't that good. Samaj is, I think he's tearing up the Chinese league or something like that. But as far as the NBA goes, he just wasn't ready for that role to be thrust on him. So when we signed him, I was very excited as far as, you know, how this team would operate when Russell left the game. And it's been up and down. It's been a lot better.
It's been a lot better.
It's been a
recently.
Lot better compared to Samaj Christen. But there's still times where it's ebbs and flows of a backup point guard sometimes.
Yeah, I think you were a little bit higher on Raymond Felton than I was. Not that I always thought Raymond Felton was a good player and stuff like that, but I just felt like he doesn't realize that he's an older player. Mm-hmm. So he comes in still shooting those starter shots as opposed to
sometimes
keeping the offense flowing and stuff like that. So that was the only thing I was concerned about and worried about, and like you said, ebbs and flows. Sometimes he, in that first half of the game, he comes in, starts just firing, and it's just atrocious. In the first half of the Charlotte game, he comes back in the second half, and again in that fourth quarter, he is the Raymond Felton backup point guard that keeps the offense flowing and gets everybody involved that we know he can do.
Yeah, so in that 22-8 run that they had in the first 6 minutes of that fourth quarter, Felton accounted for 20 of those points. So he had 8 points himself, and so basically he just went into the lane at will and would find a little groove and just shoot up a little, you know, a little floater or a little jump shot and would make them. So he was, you know, he had 8 points and he also had 4 assists, and each of those assists was a three-pointer. So it was Patrick Patterson, I think, twice in the corner. I think it was Jeremy Grant at one, and it might have been Abrines on the other one.
Yeah, I think Abrines got one in.
Yeah. So he was the key to that 22-8 run. And then basically once they put in, much of the starting lineup back into the game as they usually do with the rotation in the fourth quarter, Charlotte couldn't come back. They could never come back. So, you know, that was a great win as far as we needed it, because we came into it with, was it a 2-game losing streak or a 3-game losing streak, something like that. And it was a bad losing streak. It was like Phoenix, who did we lose? Phoenix, Sacramento? No, we didn't lose Sacramento.
No,
it was just a bad losing streak. I mean, it was Phoenix, Portland, and Minnesota. And that was, so we really needed that victory. And so, you know, everybody did a great job. And everybody was steady in regards to the big four, except for Melo, who scored 7 on 3 of 14 shooting, but he had 10 boards. Everybody else was pretty much even keel as to what they do. Kemba Walker had 19, Marvin Williams had 16. Dwight Howard, who went off the last time these two teams met, he had just 11 points, but he did have 17 boards. So Steven Adams did a much better job on him, keeping him out of the paint, keeping keeping a body on him. And, you know, that led to the Thunder's victory against Charlotte. Fast forward over to Monday and Wednesday. You know, we played Sacramento and the Lakers at home. Basically, the two games were kind of the same. The third quarters were the difference in both games. We outscored both teams by double digits in the third quarter. And just, I mean, nothing to be taken from those games pretty much. It's Sacramento. It's the Lakers. It's a game on a Monday and Wednesday night in the middle of January. You know, those are the type of games where it's just kind of like, ugh.
A cold Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah, it's very cold.
So I went to both of those games and walked into the car. Woo!
Yeah, and you hear, like, so Michael Thompson, Klay Thompson's father, he's one of the announcers for the Lakers.
Right.
He put on his, I believe it was his Twitter account or Instagram, whatever.
It's Twitter.
Yeah, and he put on there, oh, you know, I walked around.
He said, got here at about 10 o'clock.
So this is 10 a.m.
Yeah, driving through the middle of the city to the hotel, and it is dead. There's nobody outside.
Yeah. What they didn't, you know, what he neglects to put on his tweet was that it was 5 degrees outside on that day, and no one's going to be outside when it's 5 degrees. Go to Minnesota, which is, you know, in Minnesota's a much bigger city than is Oklahoma City. If it's 5 degrees outside, you're not going to see
how many
that
people
many
are
people.
Out there
exactly.
Walking the street.
I'm sorry this is not LA. I'm sorry this is not 80 degree weather.
Oh, yeah,
weather.
He said that. I love LA or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's not 80 degree weather all the time. But hey, you know, screw you, Michael Thompson. Go, you know, go.
So, as with the custom and tradition, on Monday night, Buddy Hield got into the game, got a nice ovation from the Oklahoma City fan base. Is, you know, he played for the Sooners here and took him to the Final Four.
Okay.
So, you know, with tradition, Blake Griffin gets the same reception initially, first time getting in the game. They'll get that reception, and after that, we go back to booing him. But, you know, I thought it was nice. Buddy Hield in-house. He's played here before. They had the Big 12 tournaments down in the Thunder in Chesapeake Energy Arena. He's very familiar with these hoops. You know, had a decent game.
Yeah.
But he was, I mean, finding tough to get space separation between him and Paul George.
It's weird why it's kind of weird that Sacramento has this youth movement going on and they don't start him. You know, I just find it weird that he needs time to develop. And the guy is a great shooter. He's one of the best shooters in the NBA already. But he needs time to develop. And Sacramento's not giving him you know, they're not showing patience with him.
No, they're not giving him a lot of time to adjust.
It's just weird. It's just he's not six man material, I don't think, yet. I think he's starter material. He just needs time to kind of, as far as the other facets of his game, to develop those with, you know, 30 plus minutes per game. It's just kind of baffling. But it's Sacramento.
Yeah. Vince Carter in the building.
Yeah. The Kings are gonna king from time to time, and it's just that organization is just from top to bottom is kind of a dumpster fire.
So on Wednesday night, the Lakers game, you had Floyd Money Mayweather.
Yeah, I saw that
in the building. courtside sitting next to Ray Westbrook.
So okay, so what'd you think about? Was it the governor? Was it Governor Mary Fallon said it was Floyd Mayweather Day?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, she said it was Floyd Mayweather Day because he was there to promote something. You know, he was there for a reason. It was to promote something. And I guess she was there and she called that day Floyd Mayweather Day. And it was just like, do you not read bios? I know his people probably offered you a bio that had all the highlights of his life, but do you not read like the Wikipedia page? Do you not do a little Google search and see
that
he's been charged a couple times with like spousal, like domestic battery and things of that nature? I don't think he's ever necessarily been charged or, you know, found guilty or anything like that. But where there's smoke, there's fire. And you don't necessarily want to be, you know, especially with the whole Me Too movement and things of that nature, you don't want to necessarily be associated with a guy that might be associated with that.
Look, I guess at this point in time, you're going to do what you got to do to draw the attention to your city.
Felt like selling your soul right there.
I saw that. I didn't go to this game, but I saw that Rumble. Mm-hmm. Busted out some gloves and had him sign it, and he handed it out to a couple people in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty cool. You know, he seemed like, you know, he was enjoying himself.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, it's whatever. I mean, people make mistakes all the time, and you know, you don't really know the 100% story of somebody. You don't know if it was, you know, it could have been a situation where his spouse or his fiance or girlfriend, whatever the heck it was mad at him that day and decided to call the cops or something like that.
Oh, no, he whooped her ass. It's on videotape.
Oh, okay. Well, now.
No,
on videotape? Really?
Yeah, it's on tape. I think he was convicted and sentenced to like...
did like one of those 10 days in jail type thing?
Yeah, 6 months probation, kind of one of those things.
Well, yeah, maybe they need, you know, maybe the people that are handling the PR for Mary Fallon need to do a little bit more research.
But again, you know, it's good to see celebrities in the building for big games.
That's fine.
Ray Westbrook rocking some unreleased Jordan 9s. Those are part of the spring collection for 2018. Oh, was he?
The blue ones, right?
White and black.
White and black, okay.
So those were looking clean and sharp. I've got my eye on those.
Okay.
So overall, you know, just a good game overall. Again, mm-hmm. that game, I think the bench had a lot of movement, a lot of continuing the pace and play mm-hmm. That the starters landed. Patrick Patterson, I think, had a good night that night. Abrines is... I guess found his way back into the rotation
slowly.
A little bit.
Yeah,
slowly but surely. Of course, they're
finding his role.
They're still going to go with Ferguson, and I understand that. But I think Abrines has gotten out of his head,
mm-hmm.
and in this 4-game stretch, a couple of times when he gets in the game, immediately almost an Anthony Morrow situation, gets the ball at his head and shoots it, and scores. And I think him just not overthinking it, getting that ball in rhythm and shooting it, I think he's starting to work his way back into rotation, which is good because whenever you have an abundance of shooters on any given night, any one of those guys could go off. So that's always good to see.
I mean, the thing with Abrines is he's – look, in the NBA, you have your five tool players, which are usually your superstars, and then you have your specialists. And he can be a valuable specialist as a floor spacer, three-point shooter. He just has to be able to stay on the floor enough to be impactful. And so if you're consistently, you know, doing stupid fouls, especially the and one variety, if you're consistently
getting beat off the dribble
or consistently letting your man, you know, leaving your man wide open on the 3-point line and then jumping out at him and causing, you know, either a 4-point play or a 3-point, you know, three free throw attempts because of a foul on the 3-point line. You know, the Thunder don't need Abrines to do a lot. They just need him to play solid enough defense and they need him to, you know, shoot 3-pointers at a good clip. He can do the latter. Can he do the first part? Can he play the, you know, play the defense enough?
He's either
to
got
stay
to,
on the floor.
He's got to shoot the ball out, lights out, for them to overlook his defensive
mm-hmm.
inabilities, or you know, like you said, he's just got to make up a little bit here in order to justify his playing time.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotten a couple more minutes. He didn't play too much tonight. He did not play too much today because the Cavs are so wing heavy, they're so 3-point shooting heavy that I think those types of games, even though he would be valuable, he would have been valuable. Okay, here's the thing with Abrines. He's a lot more valuable last season when we had no shooting, as opposed to this season that now we got George, now we got Anthony, now we got, you know, more shooters on the floor. So, you know, as far as a game where there's a bunch of shooters out there on the opposing team, you're going to need more defense. You're going to need guys that are more two-way players. And so Abrines kind of catches the brunt of not getting minutes in those types of games. So speaking of this game.
Well, before that, we also have the return of Andre Roberson.
Yes.
Back into the lineup, which helped.
Was that Sacramento or was that the.
I think it was Sacramento.
Yeah.
Which helped solidify the defense. Yes. They were in time. Flux those four or five games that he was out. He comes back, and it just seems like that defense instantly clicked back to what they were doing.
So he missed eight games total. Okay. So I looked on NBA.com. So from December 13th to the 27th, the Thunder went 8-1. Their defensive rating was 103.6. Okay. From December 29th to January 12th, their defensive rating was 111.6 for a record of 2-5. And this was before the Charlotte game. Charlotte game was a lot better, even you know, without Roberson. Right. But it was a lot better. So, yeah, so, I mean, the difference one guy makes on the defensive end is crazy. You know, it's crazy as far as results on the floor, as far as, you know, you look at this guy and, everybody looks at this guy and says, oh, you know, this guy's horrible on offense. You know, he kills your offense, blah, 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 blah. But his importance on the defensive end, his importance as a disruptor, as somebody that, you know, cleans up mistakes that Russell Westbrook makes on the defensive end, that, you know, for those eight games, Steven Adams had to do a whole bunch of work on the defensive end. He had to clean up mistakes. He had to, you know, get guys that got past him. So I guess the impact that Andre Roberson makes is just tantamount to the success of this team.
Well, it's right up there with his numbers are up to, if not better, than Kawhi Leonard. The difference is Kawhi Leonard developed a shot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I mean, I'm sorry, but I think this season you're going to have to – I think this season, as far as defensive player of the year, you're looking at Andre Roberson out there. You're looking at – I think when you look at the defensive team at the end of the season, you're going to have two Thunder players on there and you're going to have two Warrior players on there.
You're looking at George.
I'm looking at Roberson. George and Roberson.
Draymond and Durant.
And Durant, yeah. So
who your fifth guy is,
I don't know.
I think they give it to Durant.
Well, yeah. No, I know. But, well, yeah, I mean, it just depends on. So, well, that's true, yeah, because Roberson, he plays guard now.
Yeah.
So that was the thing last year. So Roberson plays, you know, he's a guard. So I don't really see, you know, Chris Paul, he's usually a staple on that team. Yeah, he's missed too many games so far.
Chris Paul's been hurt a lot.
Yeah, he's missed too many. And well, he missed a lot of the first half of the season, but if he stays healthy the second half, then that changes things. Who else? Tony Allen, you know, isn't playing anymore. Patrick Beverly's hurt. Who else was so it was Chris Paul and I don't know. I can't think of it. But I think the Thunder have a real good chance of getting two guys up there on the all first defense team. And I think Roberson and George each have a shot at getting Defensive Player of the Year. You know, Paul George leading the league in deflections, leading the league in steals.
Number three on that list is Russell Westbrook.
In steals? No. Yeah, he's always been up there with steals. You know, Roberson, as far as stats, defensive stats, you don't really see those too much. But you can look at the team statistics whenever. And I think when you look at Roberson, it reminds me of the year that Marc Gasol won Defensive Player of the Year. The stats weren't there. You're not looking at a grand amount of blocks or anything like that. But defensively, as far as a team anchor, he did so much for the Grizzlies that year that they almost had to give him the award because of how well the Grizzlies played defensively that year.
The only problem with that is the development of Kevin Durant's defense.
Yeah.
And his shot blocking and his steals. And the fact that he's the sexier of the two names is just going to automatically block Roberson for Defensive Player of the Year.
Here's a crazy name for first-team all-defense. What about Steven Adams? This is a man that, you know, you're talking about 1.5 blocks, about 1.5 steals. He's always in the stealing, you know, he's always in the, like, the pick and roll lanes. Just his hands are just apparently huge. So he always gets those deflections and steals. You know, the Thunder could literally have three players on the all defense team.
So the all defensive team, you had Danny Green, Chris Paul, Patrick Beverley, mm-hmm. and Tony Allen.
So that was first team?
This is first team. Well, it has them all. It has NBA all defensive team winners 2017. Rudy Gobert, Danny Green, Draymond Green, Antetokounmpo, Roberson, Davis, Paul, Leonard, Beverley, Tony Allen. Tony Allen's not going to be there. Patrick Beverley's not going to be there. Kawhi Leonard's not going to be there. Rudy Gobert, I don't think is going to be there because he's been hurt a lot. Danny Green. Maybe.
Spurs are still good defensively.
The Spurs are really, really good. So you're looking at 1, 2, 3.
About 4 or 5 slots.
About 4 slots. 4 or 5 open. Slots that are open.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it would not surprise me at all if 2 to 3 Thunder players are on those teams. And then especially, I mean, you just look at our defense, team defense. We're one of the best teams, you know, defensively in the league. I mean, the impact that Roberson has on this team is just, it's amazing to me, considering the type of player he is on the other end of the floor as a minus. But I think the Thunder have learned how to use him as not just a statue out there, not just somebody that's planted out in the corner to where defenses can just sink in. So he's always moving. He's always using the baseline. He's screening. He's cutting. So it keeps the defense honest.
Well, he's been doing what I said he should be doing. Mm-hmm. That lane is open. Even if you're not going to shoot, you can drive the lane and at least force somebody to come up on you and dump it off. And so nobody's paying attention to him. He drives the lane and he gets buckets.
Yeah, you just
he gets you know, up and unders. They're there for him, and he could easily make 8-10 points just by driving the lane because nobody's guarding you.
When you have competent enough offensive players, if you have somebody that just takes their eyes off the other four players for even a second, that's all you need. That's all you need out there. So today, we went into Cleveland. I thought we were going to lose because I just figured Cleveland was due. You know, they had lost like 13 out of 14 or 11 out of 12. And their last game was another close game where they blew a 20-point lead. So I thought, hey.
The worst team in the NBA. They won 104-103, the Magic.
They're the worst team in the NBA?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, sure, why not? We lost to them. we lost to them in Orlando. I came into this and I said, okay, so this just stinks of one of those games that Cleveland is going to, you know, they're in their locker room. They're going to have a players-only meeting or some crap like that, and they're going to come out today and just, you know, put it all together. You know, it's happened to us before, and we don't really have too good of a record playing in Cleveland. For some reason, Cleveland is a little shop of horrors when it comes to our team. Any team that LeBron plays for, anytime we play over there, we always have a tough time winning. So I figured, okay, all the recipe, you know, the recipe is there for us to kind of, you know, fall apart and not necessarily keep the winning streak going. The ball tipped off and it was 8-0 before Cleveland scored, and that's pretty much how the rest of the game went. I mean, Cleveland made their, you know, so we scored, what, 43 points in the first quarter?
43 in the first quarter.
So we had 43 points in the fourth quarter. We were up by 19 in the first quarter. Second quarter, Cleveland started off the quarter and looked like, you know, the bench unit looked like it was going to go ahead and put on a run for us. Put on a run for Cleveland, and they did. Dwayne Wade, Jeff Green, Tristan Thompson, they did a real good job of going up and down the floor, and they scored, I think 6 points in like, a minute and a half, like 1 minute, they had already put up 6 points on the board. The lead kind of hovered around 8 to 10 points there until the middle of the second quarter. And then they put the starters back in the game, and we built up the lead again. I mean, we not built it up, but we got it back up to, I believe we were up by 16 at halftime.
Yeah, it was 73 to 40-something.
Yeah, we scored 76.
Yeah.
76 points at the half. I mean, just think about that.
We almost we doubled them on rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, 76 points at I remember that one year that Houston put I think it was 70 on us in the first half.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't score in the second half, and we actually came back and won. But that seemed like a lot. 76 points in the first half. I don't care how bad you are defensively. You could be the worst defensive team in the league. You're not allowing other teams to put up 76 in the first half. Okay? But it didn't stop there. Like, usually, you know, like, say, Golden State, say somebody like that, you know, they go off in the first half. The defense usually adjusts. You know, halftime, whatever cursing happens with the coach happens, and they come out and they play better defensively. They might still lose the game, play a lot better defensively. So second half rolls around. Third quarter was a lot like the second quarter where Cleveland kind of was making their runs, and it looked like they were, but they just couldn't stop us. They could not stop us from scoring. And so we ended up scoring 148 points in regulation. This game did not go into triple overtime or anything like that.
I texted you, and it was about 6 minutes left in the third quarter, and we had 105 points.
Yeah, it was like 3 minutes left in the third quarter.
Are we watching? Are we watching the All-Star game?
Yeah, it was that. I mean, Cleveland is. So let's talk about Cleveland. So this is your defending Eastern Conference champ. These guys have been to the NBA Finals the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. You lose one player, Kyrie Irving,
mm-hmm.
and your whole team goes to crap? I mean, it's just like.
Yeah, and considering that you got at least a defender back. A competent defender
Jay Crowder,
and you got when healthy, an arguably competent, as competent scorer as Kyrie in IT. But again, he's just now coming back. We're talking about maybe 2 weeks in, so he's nowhere near in game shape. But putting those two factors aside, everybody else has just aged like 100 years.
So Kevin Love played like the first 3 minutes and then he was out the rest of the game. I guess he was sick. But man, still, I mean, this team defensively, I'm not even talking about offensively because they put up 124 points, so they can score. Don't get me wrong, they can score. But this is like, let's say if Golden State did not have a defense, this is how they would, you know, have to win. They'd have to score a whole bunch of points. But this team has given up, like, Steven Adams was, Russell Westbrook was having a heyday when it came to just finding people that were open. I mean, he had 20 assists. The last time he had 20 assists was the Phoenix game last year where he had 22 assists, I think. I mean, this was utter domination, you know, by the end of the game, it was just a
flawless victory.
Yes, thank you, Mortal Kombat. It was just a flawless victory. It was crazy. It was just like you look at this team and you say, okay, they have the ability to put up 120 every once in a while. 148?
What?
I know. What?
What?
Just like it was crazy. I mean, it was. I was happy. It was great. I'm glad that, you know, my tweet did not come true. But it was just.
Okay.
It was a game of hyperbole. Like, I can't even come up with too many words to express how bad Cleveland was defensively. And, I mean, I look at that game. Yeah, we hit shots. Yeah, you know, we made outside shots. Paul George came into it. He was hot. Carmelo Anthony continued his hot shooting. But it wasn't like guys were going out there and putting up 50. You know, it was a team effort. Everybody got theirs, and it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
There was no resistance at all. I don't know. Cleveland is just a dumpster fire right now.
Well, and here's where we see the reports coming out that says that Cleveland is actively pursuing trades for DeAndre Jordan, which at first I look at that on the face of things, and I'm like, with no point guard that can really give him the ball, how is that going to help you?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, shot blocking, sure.
But DeAndre Jordan isn't that great of a shot blocker.
Well, but, you know, defensively, as far as protecting the rim, he's a lot better than what you got.
True.
Which makes that Tristan Thompson contract even that much worse.
That's LeBron's boy. That's LeBron's boy. He got paid.
And LeBron would, you know, so LeBron didn't sign until Tristan Thompson signed, whether those two were coincidence or not, they saddled the Cavaliers with that $80 million contract, which it was.
You got to understand with LeBron. Like, so I see the progression of LeBron. So Miami, first 3 years, they were doing great. By the fourth year, the team itself starts to say, okay, we're kind of spending a lot of money on these veterans. They're getting older. The Mike Millers, the James Jones, the Udonis Haslams, whatever.
The Birdman.
Yeah, they're getting older. We're going to have to start cutting them in order to maybe next year, LeBron, if you're still here, getting new players in. And eventually what happened after year four was LeBron left.
He dipped out.
So here we are, fourth year of him in Cleveland and the second iteration of him coming back to Cleveland. So first 3 years, they spent all this money. They brought in all these players. It's been successful for the most part. Three straight finals, one championship, fourth year. Kind of start getting into that whole, we have all these players that aren't necessarily great getting big time money. One of the superstars on the team wanted to try it out on his own, and he left, in Kyrie Irving. And so you start to see the same thing. Do I think LeBron is coming back to this team? No, not at all. So there was a tweet earlier this week from this guy named Bansky. Boogie Buzzins is his name. And so he was just putting out there where he thought LeBron would go. And basically, at the end of everything that he says, there's no place for him to go. There's no place that...
Just outright.
Yeah, just that you can say that you can look right now and say LeBron is going to go there next season. Because you have to look at the psyche of LeBron. LeBron wants to win a championship. So he wants to go to a ready-made team. So that's number one.
And unless he's going to the Warriors, anybody on the West really doesn't make sense.
Well, hold on. So so he wants a ready-made team, okay? So that's number one. Number two, this team has to be able to compete with the Warriors, not compete against the 28 other teams in the NBA. Yeah. This team has to be able to compete with the Warriors for him to go there, for him to even, talk about that. So there's a couple options. And thirdly, if he wants to go to those teams, I'm sorry, but you're not going to get paid LeBron money. That's the thing. See, so the list of teams that I think can probably fit into that wheelhouse, you got Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. You got San Antonio. You got who else?
But San Antonio has some of the same issues that the Cavs do.
Well, yeah.
They got old-ass players.
Okay. So you got – San Antonio – even with that, you have a great leader like Pop that takes that team that doesn't have Kawhi, only has Kawhi for about 7, 8, 9 games a season, and they're still number three. 2 in the West, number 3 in the West.
Number 3, yeah.
And they're, going back and forth with
Houston.
Oh, yeah, no. They're not. They're kind of – they've fallen off a little bit.
They're like 3-4.
With Minnesota.
It's a back and forth race.
So you have that, okay? Out in the East, is there anybody in the East that can say, hey, LeBron, come here and you can compete number one with the Celtics and number two eventually with the Warriors? I don't see it.
Washington.
With the team they have now, they're struggling to be consistent. You know what I'm saying? And they don't have any money. They gave all their money to Otto Porter, Beal, Wall. They don't have any money.
Milwaukee.
But
Milwaukee's a suitable place that can compete with Boston. I don't know if they can compete with the Warriors with LeBron on that team, but you run the risk of hampering Antetokounmpo's growth.
Development, yeah.
And so, Brogdon's.
So here's my thing. What about Oklahoma City? So I put a tweet out to this guy, this Bansky guy, and I said, hey, what about Oklahoma City? Because the thing is, what Oklahoma City is, so let's say he does the whole L.A. thing. So he can go to L.A. and Paul George can go to L.A. Guess what? You don't have Russell Westbrook. You don't have Carmelo Anthony. You don't have Steven Adams. So you're missing parts.
Yeah.
If you want a ready-made team, that ready-made team plays in Oklahoma City.
And L.A. is they're still too young.
They're way too young.
They're baby Lakers. Lonzo, I think, is going to be a really, really good NBA player.
I think so.
Jordan Clarkson is coming along, but they're looking to move him. Brandon Ingram is an up-and-coming big man. You know, he's getting better as they go. Kyle Kuzma is the steal of the NBA draft.
Yeah.
But they're still baby Lakers. They're not there yet.
Yeah, they're not. And
you're going to have to get rid of some of those guys in order to make room for LeBron in the first place.
Well, I mean,
and I know you have the cap space.
But here's my thing. So you have the cap. Yeah, you have the cap space. But $60 million of that cap space already is going to be gone if you do sign LeBron and you do sign Paul George. So as far as bringing in maybe another, first of all, free agent wise, there's not that many other players left once you do that. But secondly, you know, who are you going to bring in? Who, I mean, maybe trade here or there, maybe, but you don't have a ready-made team. Mm. That ready-made team plays in Oklahoma City, has three stars, has an up-and-coming big man that is flourishing in this role.
Say 2.5.
2.5, and then has Carmelo Anthony that, yeah, he's not the Carmelo Anthony from a couple years ago, but he could still drop 27, 28, 29 points in a big game if he has a shot going. You know what I'm saying?
So Melo's my half superstar.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's on the backside of his career. And then I agree with you with Adams, an up-and-coming guy who Jimmy Butler, they asked him about Steven Adams, and he was like, that mother is strong.
Yeah.
You know, just to show how big and physical the presence mm-hmm. Steven Adams is. So in your scenario, how does he fit in Oklahoma City? Is Paul George still here? Carmelo still here?
Yeah, I'm thinking if he comes here, it's basically been back channeled that all these guys are going to be here.
Okay.
You know, so it's,
so your team consists of, your starting lineup is going to look like Russell.
Probably Russell, PG at the two, LeBron, Melo, and then Adams. Steven Adams.
Okay.
A lot of money.
But do you think they can coexist?
But here's my thing. So again, we run into the same problems every other good team that can and that has a chance maybe at LeBron or that has a ready-made team for LeBron runs into. We have no money, so this is going to take sacrificing from his end, whether he wants to come here or not. Yeah. I'm sorry, we can't offer him $10 million. You know, we don't have that kind of money. We don't have cap space. You know, we have exceptions. No, not even with Paul George.
No. I was going to say unless Carmelo renegotiates his contract for less,
he can't. You can't. It's not like the NFL where all the years and the money on these contracts in the NBA for the most part, especially superstar deals, are guaranteed. And so he has the option. So I mean, technically Carmelo could go ahead and opt out, and he would technically be a free agent, and then the Thunder could sign him for whatever they want to sign him. I don't know how much he wants the $28 million that is due to him in that final year of his contract. That's a player option. But if he likes it here, if he likes the opportunity to compete for a championship, the opportunity to maybe bring in somebody else, he could renegotiate that down to, I don't know what he thinks 15? He's worth. 15? You know, that's – but you're still – the thing is, Oklahoma City is so far over the cap. You know, you have to be under the salary cap to sign. So in order to sign somebody of LeBron's ilk, you have to be $30 million under the cap. Not the luxury tax,
right.
The salary cap. We're never going to get there, especially after Russell Westbrook signed that big old contract that he signed. So we're never getting there with that. You know, the NBA works towards, like, let's say Carmelo opts out. Let's say Paul George opts out. There's still salary holds there. Like, the NBA has designed a system to where you can't just have players saying, okay, I'm going to opt out. All that money's free. Bring in Bubba from another team.
And then re-sign these
guys. So their salary holds. So, I mean, if we're looking at – if LeBron is looking to constantly compete for championships in the final leg of his career, I think Oklahoma City is a valid destination if he's willing to sacrifice.
It makes sense. My only concern is how are they going to meld together? Is it going to work?
Well, I mean, we've seen this season, there's been struggles as far as melding. There's been struggles in the beginning of the year. It now seems like they're finally starting to get into their roles. Finally finding an identity.
Yeah, but there's superstar struggles, mm-hmm. and then there's LeBron James on your team struggles.
What do you mean?
We've seen that in Miami. We saw that in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole in Miami, it was will they, won't they, who's going to be Batman, who's going to be Robin. Yeah. In Cleveland, it was Kyrie was on an up-and-coming team starting to turn the franchise around. LeBron comes onto the team, and then it's like daddy and son. And
but here's the thing. Here's the thing with the Thunder and where they're at right now. I don't think this team has 4 or 5 years. As far as, like, even if you look at the players, like, if like I know Carmelo's on his final leg, but even Paul George, Westbrook, by the end of this contract for Westbrook, he's not going to be the player he is now, then.
I agree. It's a short window.
It's a very short window. So if you're going to compete for a championship and you're going all in anyways, you know, that's what this season is going all in.
Just YOLO it?
Just YOLOing it. If you're going to do that and the opportunity presents itself, you go for it.
Now, regardless of what team LeBron James lands on, if he leaves, if he goes to any other team, then Cleveland, do you consider him a mercenary? Like Chuck said. And I think Shaq agreed with him.
No, I don't. I don't consider him a mercenary. Like, okay, so if he did the Oklahoma City thing.
It doesn't matter. Oklahoma City, Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm just saying. If he does. Well, because there's two things. Like the Los Angeles thing is final leg of his career type thing. Because he lives out in Los Angeles. You know, he has a home in Los Angeles. He has a home in Cleveland. He probably has a home in Miami, New York. He's that kind of guy. So I think L.A. would just be his swan song for whatever, however.
Well, he has a production company.
I don't think it's a mercenary. He's a mercenary if he goes there. I think that's a choice. That's a life choice if he goes there. I think if he goes to Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Houston, for less money, then that's mercenary. Then that's a merc. I don't think he's been a mercenary throughout his career.
I don't think so. Yeah. I told you, and I've told you this, and I tell anybody who's a LeBron fan, he should have left Cleveland when he did. I don't blame him for leaving Cleveland when he did, because then he was asking for help, and they got him dudes like Antoine Jameson.
Yeah, Shaq. Old Shaq.
Yeah, old Shaq. Old Antoine Jameson, you know, they weren't getting him those kind of guys that he needed. So I don't blame him from leaving Cleveland at all. I think he needed to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't blame him for leaving Miami, although I think that could have been worked out. I think that could have been fixed where he could just stay there and finish out his career in Miami. But I don't blame him for going back home and coming through on his word and trying to get a ring for Cleveland. I got no problems with that. But if he leaves somewhere else, he's a mercenary. Now, my question to you is, does that impact your view of his legacy in any way, shape, or form?
I don't think so. We're
talking about you personally.
I know. And so I want to kind of go ahead and I want to present this through another person. And so, Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. So the wounds have healed enough to where I can look at it and say, for him, for what he wanted, he made the right move. You know, regardless of how I feel about him as a former Thunder player, regardless of how I feel about the move itself, whether it was kind of a, sorry the word, but a bitch made move type thing. Yeah, that type of move. That part, I don't. My view doesn't change. That was kind of a, you know, you went to the team that beat you in the Western Conference Finals because you couldn't beat them. LeBron didn't do that. LeBron did not have epic matchups against Miami with the Cleveland Cavaliers and then went to Miami.
Right, and then joined them there.
Exactly. So I don't necessarily, but with that said, I can look at Kevin Durant's decision and the outcome of it a year later and say, you know what? Good for him. He made the right decision. You know, they won a championship, and they're one of the, you know, top teams in the league right now. They are the top team in the league still. So I cannot look at what LeBron does or has done in his career and say that he's a mercenary. Now, like I said, if he does what he does, if he does the scenario that I say and he takes less money, see, that's the thing, the less money part. Like, if he goes to L.A. and they pay him $30 million, that's not him going to L.A. as a mercenary move. That's him going to L.A. because he wants to get paid $30 million and finish out his career in L.A. You know, but if he does do the whole, hey, I'll sign with you guys for $5 million, $10 million. That is a merc move. But I wouldn't necessarily call him a mercenary. I would call him a guy wanting to finish out his career correctly. Still vying for championships. Still wanting to be one of the top guys on the team that's vying for a championship.
So here's how I look at it. Okay, yeah. Let's address the Kevin Durant issue. There's no denying his growth as a player. Mm-hmm. And probably soon to take over as the number one guy in the NBA as far as talent right now from LeBron James. There's no denying that whatsoever.
Okay.
I think that if he wasn't happy with the style of play, if he wanted to do something different, I think he could have told Sam Presti, and I think they could have made those changes here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gotten a coach that plays that same, you know, whatever. So he, you know, he chose if you can't beat him, join him.
Mm-hmm.
And he went down there. Okay, whatever. I'm not a fan of the move personally. I think with this team that they were so close to beating him anyways, I think if you would have conveyed your feelings, I think there could have been changes made here
mm-hmm.
to acquiesce to what you need and continue with that team and go on and beat the Warriors.
Yeah.
But there's no denying his growth nor the level his talent has reached another level down in Golden State, and so I can't deny that, and I'm okay with that.
And the results. I mean, you got a championship.
Yeah, you got a championship. You got a finals MVP. I can't deny all that. Now, whether LeBron signs for $5 million or $30 million, if he signs anywhere else other than Cleveland, he's a mercenary, in my opinion.
You think?
Now,
okay.
Does that affect my view of him? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. LeBron James will go down as the best player of this generation, right? Of mm-hmm. my generation.
Okay.
I mean, I grew up watching Jordan, but, you know, I was fairly young. Now, of my adult, you know, teenage to adult years watching NBA basketball,
mm-hmm.
LeBron James is the best player
okay.
for this generation, right? I can wholeheartedly say that, even though I have philosophical issues with LeBron James in the sense that his constant need for attention is unnecessary because he gets it anyways. Feel like at times throughout his career, it's like somebody does something so he has to one-up him
mm-hmm.
to get the attention back on him. I just never thought any of that was necessary for that caliber of a player. But that being aside, I can clearly say that he is one of the greatest players. His finals records being aside, at the end of the day, he still has three rings,
mm-hmm.
right? That's three more than a lot of other players in the NBA.
True.
So, yeah, he doesn't have the finals record that Jordan has. He doesn't have as many rings as Jordan, but I never compared him to Jordan anyways. I thought he was more likened to Magic Johnson as far as statistics and mm-hmm. style of play and all that other stuff. So whether he signs for $5 million or $30 million or becomes part owner while he's still playing, he's still a mercenary if
that.
He goes anywhere else.
You can't do that, but okay.
But you get my
it's
point.
The Michael Jordan rule.
You get my point.
Yeah.
He's still going to become he's still going to be considered a mercenary by the world that we live in, and that it doesn't bother me whatsoever.
Okay, so let's say he mercs it. Let's say he signs with Oklahoma City for $5 million for that year. Let's say he signs a 2-year, $10 million contract with the second year being a player option, whatever. You know how he does. And he wins a championship here. You think it matters? As far as legacy goes, you think that matters?
No.
No, it doesn't.
No.
No, because
what will matter
mm-hmm.
is whether or not Russell carried the team and LeBron pushed them over,
mm.
or if LeBron pushed the whole team over. You see
what I'm saying? LeBron, I don't think it matters at all because he's won his championship.
Not for LeBron. I'm saying for the Oklahoma City fans and I guess Russell's legacy.
I don't think it matters. I honestly don't think it matters.
And this is me just playing devil's advocate because I know how NBA fans and I know how this world is.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, well, Russ needed four superstars to get a championship.
Yeah. He couldn't win it with one KD,
so he had to go get four.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I see that. But as a fan of that team, I could care less.
Neither can I.
Because a ring is a ring. I don't care if you bring the Monstars in and they do what they have to do to the Warriors to get them, you know. I don't care. I just win the game. Just win the championship and have that celebration on Reno going all the way through Bricktown. You know, that's what I'm waiting for. That's what I want. I think if LeBron wants to continue contending for championships, I don't think LA is the place to do it.
I agree.
at least not next season. No, it may be a situation where you wait another year and maybe you can get one more, a third superstar to come in. But yeah, no. So LA is not going to work. So if he wants to continue this legacy of winning and going to the finals and things of that nature, it has to be with another team. And I'm sorry, that other team has to be either Oklahoma City, Houston, San Antonio, somebody like that. And it's going to have to be sacrifice on his end, you know. So, but the thing is, between us and Houston, we have a group of players that are very close to LeBron. So Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, very close to LeBron. Chris Paul, very close to LeBron. So as far as back channel, as far as...
That's, you just named the Banana Boat crew.
I did name the Banana Boat crew. You know, in addition to Wade, but I think Wade's time is kind of... His time has come a lot quicker. I think he's more on the Carmelo Anthony track than he is on the LeBron track.
Yeah,
right.
I think Wade needs to go ahead and reconcile, sign that contract with Miami, and just fade off into the sunset.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, so... Or it may be a situation where, you know, we bring in Wade too for the vet minimum. You know, whatever. Whatever it wants to be. You know, have Gabriel Union come here and, you know, shoot a movie here or whatever. But yeah, I do think either one of those three teams are his best chance to keep winning, to keep going, you know, to keep competing. And he's going to have to take a pay cut. So it'd be very interesting to see what he wants come this offseason.
Yeah.
So big, you know, one of the big things that was going on. So you had the big game. But one of the big things on Twitter that was going on was, you know, Paul George was carrying around his PlayStation bag. So what was that PlayStation bag all about?
So long rumored, there was a leak of images of the next PG shoe, the PG2.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul George did confirm that some of the details were correct, but the overall look, it was close, but not exactly.
Yeah.
So in this PlayStation bag. And if you follow Paul George on Instagram and Twitter, you'll see that he plays PlayStation all the time, mm-hmm. on road trips and stuff like that, where his brand new PG2s, the PlayStation version. So they were designed with the PlayStation writing. So on the right tongue was the PG logo. On the left tongue was the PlayStation logo.
Mm-hmm.
The outlets for the little laces, the lace outlets,
yeah.
were colored in the signature
Oh, so the
PlayStation controller colors,
the controller, okay.
X, zero, or the circle, X, Y, or square, X square, yeah. and all that. The shoe itself was black with, and so the tongue lights up. So he basically announced to the world his brand new signature shoe and did it with a PlayStation connection.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big fan of PlayStation and stuff like that. On the back, his says PG-13 on the back, and the other one has like a barcode, almost like the serial numbers on the back of PlayStations.
Okay.
And so announce those to the world and drop those, and those will be dropping on February 10th.
Oh, man.
In a limited.
So you got the PG2 coming out on February 10th,
yep.
and then February
16th.
Or 15th, right?
16th.
16th,
is
you got
the Russell Westbrook.
The regular.
The white and black.
Yeah. Ugh.
And so, but before this, so we all know that the mirror images had dropped already, and uh-huh. he's been wearing those for a few games. The Sacramento game... Russell Westbrook busts out a new colorway, and he's rocking the white and black. Mm-hmm. Why not zeros?
Yeah.
And then against the Lakers, he busts out a white and orange colorway.
Oh, wow.
And then against Cleveland, he debuted the Statement Edition, which is a dark navy blue with orange accents to match the Statement jerseys of Oklahoma City.
My goodness. Oklahoma City.
So the colorways have been dropping. Yes. And on top of that, at this whole time, Carmelo has been rocking some of his Melo 1.5s
uh-huh.
in Oklahoma City colors.
Cool. Nice. Nice. I mean, that's awesome, man. That's, I mean, especially, you know, Jordan heads. You know, you're more of a shoe person than I am.
Yes, I'm still in the sneaker game.
You're still single. You know, you're still single. You don't have any kids. I got four kids. And so my days of being a sneakerhead have kind of gone by the wayside. But yeah, man, that's awesome. I mean, again, I always hark back to, this is Oklahoma freaking City. This is not New York. This is not LA. This is not Miami. This is Oklahoma City. And we have basically the headliner for Jordan Brand here. And we have one of the star athletes for Nike here.
Oh, one of the rising stars.
Rising stars. Yeah. As far as having his own shoes for, you know, when you look at the NBA and you look at the rising star, you know, LeBron has his two platforms of Nike. You have KD that has his platform, and those are doing great.
KD but has two as well.
Does he really?
Yeah, so he still has a signature line, and then on the fifth signature shoe came out the Tre 5 versions.
Oh, okay.
So he has the KD signature line, and those are at 10 right now. And then he has the Tre 5, and those are at number 5 right now.
Oh, okay, interesting. I did not know that. So, okay, so you got – but name me another Nike athlete other than that super, superstar. So you got Kyrie. You got Paul George. Yeah. Who else?
Well, you other guys are – they're not – they don't have their own line. They're wearing signature line. They're wearing the Hyperdunks. So Draymond Green is a big Hyperdunk guy.
Yeah. I mean, they're never going to give Draymond Green his own shoe.
Kevin Love, I believe, wears Hyperdunks.
Another guy, yeah.
So you have a lot of Nike guys, but there's not a lot of – and I agree. And friend of the show, Ryan Rivera, is also one who harks on this all the time. There shouldn't be 85 signature lines.
That's true.
A signature line should be reserved for the best of the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
The Kyrie shoes are selling like hotcakes.
So it shouldn't be the Basketball Hall of Fame that lets anybody in?
No. You know, guys that signed on to Nike shouldn't, you know, and should just because you're signed on to Nike doesn't mean. And I learned years ago through an article, there's different tiers. Paul George, Russell Westbrook, LeBron, KD, those guys are on tier one level, right? Tier one level usually involves some sort of signature shoe or an exclusive player edition of an up-and-coming shoe that is going to, you know, be towards your way. Tier two is the next level guy. Those guys I would consider probably are more your, like, Draymond Greens and stuff like that, Kevin Loves, who have shoes designed for them and, you know, have a big chunk of money paid out to them by the shoe companies or whatever, but don't necessarily have a signature liner. There's nothing in the works. And then your tier three kind of guys are guys that just get paid $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, buy a company to wear their shoes. And they usually, spend that money. So you'll have however much money in that particular year, and they'll use that money to spend it. And they'll spend it on purchasing apparel and tennis shoes and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah. And so from time to time, you'll get – so, for example, Andre Roberson is a Nike guy. Doesn't have a signature line. Nothing's coming out. You know, there's no defensive shoe coming out in the works. That would be peak with the Deli One.
Yeah.
So no defensive shoe. So you've seen Andre Roberson wear a combination of shoes this year. So he's worn
all Nikes.
He's worn all Nikes. He has worn some Paul Georges, PG1s. He's worn a lot last year and early on this year, a lot of retros. You've seen him wear the Jordan 12s in French blue. Another guy, Jeremy Grant, is a guy that you see. He's rocking the sevens. He's rocked the eights. Those guys are rocking retros that you see out there. Andre Roberson now, and then he switched to the Kyrie threes and was rocking those for a few games. And then upon his return to from the lineup into the lineup, he was working the Hyperdunks off whites. So he was rocking the off whites, and I think he was rocking the off whites again today. So. So there's actually like a multi-tier system as to how these athletes are viewed in regards to shoes and stuff like that. It's pretty interesting.
I mean, and so back to my original point is that it's awesome that in Oklahoma City we have a couple of those top-tier guys here selling shoes, bringing in, you know, dropping their new shoes, their new signature line, so on and so forth. So I just thought that, you know, that's awesome.
In Oklahoma City colors, yeah,
in Oklahoma City. And the thing is, I always tell Oklahoma City Thunder fans, enjoy this. We have been, you know, we have been just blessed beyond recognition as far as a fan base that we got this team that came in 10 years ago. And we, for the most part, have not had a struggling season. Yeah, we had the injury-riddled season, you know, and we had the season last year where Durant left. And then, we had the first season where – but, I mean, we've never had an extended period of seasons where we're mediocre, where, you know, we're the Charlotte Bobcats / Hornets. We're
clearly rebuilding.
Yeah, exactly. We've never had that. And so not every city – has this type of success immediately. You know, you look at other teams and, you know, they go through in the 10 years that Oklahoma City has been in, there's multiple teams in the NBA that have gone through two rebuilding processes, you know, since in that 10 year span. So you know, always hark on Oklahoma City Thunder fans. Enjoy this. Enjoy the fact that we're still in discussion with the, you know, with the elite in the leagues. That doesn't happen a lot of times, you know, in any professional sport. Teams like San Antonio, New England Patriots, just consistent success, you know, for 10 plus years, where you have maybe one season where it's a little bit off because of injury or whatever, but have, you know, just sustained continued success. It's not guaranteed in any professional sport. And so, you know, I always hark on Thunder fans to just enjoy this. Enjoy the fact that we're still up there and that we're still competing for hopefully a championship. Hopefully this team is a championship contending type team when we get to the playoffs. I've always thought that was real awesome. So this past, what was it, Thursday when they released the All-Star? Tuesday?
I think it was Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
They announced this. Well, the starters. Tuesday they announced the jerseys,
mm-hmm.
which are just all white or all black.
I don't like that.
With the team's logo mm-hmm. in the middle, and then, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
So that's how you distinguish between East and West. And then Thursday.
There's not going to be East and West. That's just LeBron's
For all intents and purposes, East and West. That's how you'll be able to distinguish for the two, is all black or all white. So you have the white trimmed in black, and you have the black trimmed in white. They announced that. And then Monday was the end of the balloting, the mm-hmm. voting. And then Thursday, I believe, is when they announced the team captains.
I'm sorry.
Wednesday, they announced the team captains. Thursday, they announced the rest starters. Of the starters.
Okay. So the team captains are LeBron James, who got the most votes.
So he'll have the number one pick.
Yeah, throughout. And Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So congratulations, Kevin Durant. You don't have to pick any players. You don't have that pressure on you. Okay. So the starters for the game. So, of course, you have Curry and LeBron. So for the East, the guys that got picked from the fans, through the fans, Giannis Antetokounmpo, DeMar DeRozan, Kyrie Irving, and Joel Embiid. So Joel Embiid gets to date Rihanna if he wants, but he's moved on.
He's now an all-star.
Yeah, he's now an all-star.
He's now an all-star, so we'll see if she
but
comes
he's, he already said that he's moved on.
Yeah, and so does everybody until that phone rings.
That's true. And in the West, of course, you got Steph, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and James Harden.
Boogie is surprising.
That is very surprising. But did you notice a name missing from that once again?
Russell Westbrook.
Not just that. Guess who was number three in fan voting for guards? Manu Ginobili. That's why fans are stupid. Manu Ginobili.
Kawhi Leonard was in the top 10.
Yeah, exactly. Love the guy. Don't get me wrong. I respect the heck out of him. He has, you know, I've loved, you know, Oklahoma City has tried their darndest to find a Manu Ginobili that will stay on the bench and be that guy off the bench. James Harden, Reggie Jackson. But those guys, they wanted greener pastures and they got greener pastures. But man, no. No fans. I mean, I know you like the guy. I know San Antonio. I know, you know, they went out and they voted in mass numbers, and he has another country voting for him in Argentina. Is he Argentinian? Yeah, he has another country voting for him in mass numbers. But this is why fans are stupid. And like I said, there's going to be a time where a guy that's not very good, but he has a high, you know, he on social media, he's out there and blah, 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 and he's very popular on social media. That guy, one of these days, is going to be a starter. Jeremy Lin was almost a starter, I think. Was it Jeremy Lin or was it, I forgot who it was, but they were almost a starter because people loved them for some reason. So Westbrook was actually fourth in
For the fan guard, voting. Which is crazy in my mind. And ridiculous. But my thing is, yes, NBA fans are going to vote blindlessly for their team. But the league, too.
Is that a word? Blind?
It is now. But the league, too. Why is Kawhi even on the ballot? That dude's played 7 games.
Yeah, that's true.
How is he even eligible to be on
there? Should be a qualification.
Like, come on now. The dude's played like 7 games. How is he on the ballot? And then on top of that, in the top 10.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's like, very true,
on,
too.
Come
yeah.
on, NBA. Like, really?
Yeah, it's. I mean, hey, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. I won't say anything.
So now, so the reserves will be announced next week.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be done in secret because NBA players can't tolerate getting their feelings hurt.
You know, I want to see – I would love to see who the last starter is. I would find that very interesting because – so, okay, so you have the respect of the fans to be one of the top 10 players selected, you know, mm-hmm. as far as popularity and as far as, you know, the talent that you've shown this year in the first half. I would love to see who that last person picked out of the starters is.
I would love to see the whole thing televised. I would watch that.
It's gold. It's reality TV gold.
Right, but these NBA players don't want, you know, Kevin Durant basically came out and said he didn't want all that pressure picking the person. So you can't just believe that he's the only one that feels that way. Or he's the only one, you know, so their sentiment, you know, they don't want to hurt the players' feelings. So LeBron James, Chris Paul will get together with the league. Mm-hmm. LeBron James has the first pick because he had the overall vote. And so they'll pick between the 8 remaining starters first.
Hold on, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was wrong. Manu Ginobili was number 2 in fan voting.
That's even worse.
So apparently the NBA has a fan rank, a player rank, and a media rank. Combine all those scores, and then they spit out the starters. Manu Ginobili was number 2 in fan voting. So I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
So
my bad.
The 8 remaining starters will be chosen between Steph and LeBron.
Yeah, okay.
And then from there, once the reserves are released, the list of the reserves are released, then they'll go pick from there.
Well, they do it. So none of this
all
picking
of this
is all going to be.
All we're gonna find out afterwards who they picked. Mm-hmm. We won't know what order they picked. So my question to you is, with LeBron's first pick, don't you kind of have to pick Kevin Durant?
No. You don't have to pick him.
I mean, you don't have to pick him, but I mean.
No, you don't.
So you're LeBron. Who is your first pick?
Well, okay, so obviously my first pick would be mine. I'm thinking as me. Would be Kevin Durant, yes.
No, but you as LeBron James.
But me as LeBron James, looking through this, I might go with James Harden. I might go with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Because here's the thing. Once LeBron makes his pick, and it's not going to be Kevin Durant, Steph Curry's going to make his pick, and it is going to be Kevin Durant. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you want to pick somebody
I get that.
Defend him.
But you're wrong. A, LeBron's got to pick. You got to pick Kevin Durant. You just have to.
I don't think so. I think you don't
pick James Harden over Kevin Durant. I'm sorry.
I think they are salty enough competitors.
Exactly.
To where he ain't going to pick him.
Why not?
Because he don't want him on his team.
Look, Steph Curry gets on your nerves as it is, whether you like to admit it or not. He gets under your skin because for whatever reason, he has more love than you do. You don't pick.
KD gets on his nerves. KD is the guy going after his mantle. He's not going to KD it and put KD on his team. You know what I'm saying? No,
with James Harden?
He's going to be petty enough to where he's going to go with James Harden.
Second of all, the second person pick is not Anthony Davis?
No, it's going to be Kevin Durant. So here's my thinking, okay? So it's going to be, so LeBron goes first. It's going to be James Harden. Steph, his first pick, Kevin Durant. Then from there, whatever, I don't care. But that's how it's going to go, first two picks. That's how it's going to go.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think Kevin Durant goes first to LeBron.
I don't think so. I think the pettiness is there to where LeBron is not going to want Kevin Durant on his team. He doesn't care whether he goes with Steph's team, but he doesn't want him on his team. And so, honestly...
Yeah, but does Steph want him on his team?
Yeah, he does. Why not? Why would Steph not want him on his team?
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm throwing out ideas.
But here's the... I'll tell you this. The pettiness could be so much that Steph may not even have to pick Durant with his first pick. He could pick Durant with his fifth pick, with the final pick. Because LeBron ain't going to pick Durant. I'm sorry. I can almost guarantee that LeBron will not pick Durant at all.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether he's there for the first pick or whether he's there for the last pick.
I don't know. No. I don't know.
And I'll tell you one thing. Once the reserves come up, if LeBron has the first pick there, he's snatching up. No.
Who is he snatching up?
Russell Westbrook.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I get that. I was just talking about, I think he would snatch up Draymond.
No. I don't think any of those Golden State guys are going to end up on LeBron's team. I'm sorry, I don't. I think this is going to, I believe this is going to look very much like
East and West?
Well, no. I think this is going to look very much like what this dream scenario that we come up with LeBron being on our team, what it'll look like on the All-Star floor. Because I think Paul George is going to be one of the reserves.
Oh, yeah. I think Paul George and Westbrook are a lock.
Yeah. And I think LeBron's going to snatch those up whenever the reserves come up. Or Curry might be petty enough to where Paul George, he'll snatch it up with his first pick so that he can kind of put a bug in his ear and see what kind of magic he can work. But, yeah, man, here's the thing. See,
they definitely don't have no cap space.
But here's the thing.
No room to sign that guy.
Here's the thing. I think the NBA messed up. I mean, I don't want to say messed up. I think the NBA messed up a little bit. This is going to be a competitive. What's the word I'm looking for? Recruitment. That's all this is going to be. And I'm sorry, but I mean, this is going to be a lot of back channeling. This is going to be a whole bunch of, you know.
Yeah, but the back channeling is going to be there regardless.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's already there. I'm not a fan of some of the back channeling, but it's already there. And so I don't think the All-Star game. But I think, look, the NHL from 2011 to, I want to say, like 2016 did this, where they had the captains pick the team. And they televised it, and not one of them got their feelings hurt. This is a perfect opportunity for the NBA to make stupid money for no reason, because we're all going to sit here and watch
the draft.
Them the draft All-Star the draft. Players.
Yeah, that's true. I would love it. I would have taken a day off of work just to see that live. It
literally, that stupid money on the table for us to watch nothing. I choose you.
And I got you. If they would have done it right, they would have had all the players there, like in a draft scenario where, like, they have them all in the green
room. Like Saturday basketball, where they're all just, like, we're all sitting there and be like, okay, I got him.
Yeah.
I got him. You know, LeBron unboxes.
Street ball, yeah.
You know, LeBron brings out a box and he has just black jerseys that he just hands them.
That's basically what it's going to be. It would have been so. The NBA missed a grand opportunity to just capitalize on this. They would have held, you know what? They would have held TV captive. I don't care what game would have been on. I know after February 3rd, the NBA owns the entire landscape basically until July. And even after July, they still own it. But I think this is a grand opportunity to just take full reins of fandom, number one, and of just average fans, number two. They would have watched that too. You know, so it just would have been great. You know, you could have it narrated by, you know, by the TNT crew, and that would have been just hilarious too. But I don't think any of the Golden State guys end up. You know what? Let me change that.
Klay Thompson.
I think Klay Thompson ends up on LeBron's team, because I think Klay Thompson is that link that's weak within Golden State. I don't know. I think Draymond, and I think
he'd be the ones to go. I think he would go willingly.
Yeah, I think Draymond.
I think he would Kyrie it.
Yeah, probably. I think Draymond and Steph are very much in tune with the vision of the Warriors and their ownership and their coach and blah blah blah. And I think Durant is in it because he doesn't want to be seen as the guy that said, "Oh, you know, I won a couple championships here. I'm done here. I'm going to go somewhere else." I think Klay Thompson's a guy that says, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and try this on another team and see if I could, you know.
I'm going to go ahead and get that $21 million.
Yeah, sure. $21, whatever. I'm putting a
reasonable estimate number out there.
Yeah, he's going to go out and get his, you know, $25 to $30 million and say, hey, guys, it's been great. Thank you for the three championships. That's awesome. See ya.
Got more than my pops. Yeah, gotta go.
See ya. But, yeah, so they missed a great opportunity. I'm sorry about that. Okay, so.
Now that we digress.
Now that we digress from that. I kind of wanted to do a first half awards. I think we're going to spend too much time on that.
Yeah, I think we might have to save that for a different pod.
Yeah, so next, you know.
I want to talk about what's coming up next.
So the next game is the Nets game. I don't think you want to talk about this that much. No. I think we're just going to go through this real quick. But it's a revenge game. So here's the thing with the Thunder. Here's how I kind of judge where they are right now. They had they came out at Cleveland. They stomped them. They were focused. You could tell that they were focused. They had a game plan. You could tell the Cleveland game. I looked at it and I saw a Billy Donovan game plan come to life. I know you want to bring something up.
Oh yeah, you just reminded me of something. But
I saw a Billy Donovan game plan come to life where Cleveland is one of the most. You can attack them in the middle, and the team attacked them in the middle. Steven Adams, Russell Westbrook driving. Yeah,
they're either going to sell out to guard the paint or sell out to guard the wing.
Yeah, and they're horrible at guarding the paint. They have no shot blockers. And so you know, so the Nets game to me is a vision into where this team is mentally. Are they ready to start competing? Are they ready to start, you know, just blowing out everybody that comes in their way? Or are they going to regress back to the team that against big time game, you know, against big time talent, they show up, and against, you know, just the every other team in the NBA, they don't show up. You know, this could be a revenge game because they lost in Mexico City to the Nets. So it'll be interesting to see how they come out this game. So I brought up Billy Donovan. I know you wanted to bring something up with Billy Donovan. So go ahead.
I just need a few minutes.
You have the floor.
Billy Donovan. What are you doing, my man? What are you doing? The game is well in hand in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And with 4 minutes left in the game, Russell Westbrook and Steven Adams are still in that game. Why?
Well, not just the Cleveland game. LA game.
I'm just talking about the Cleveland game. Let's go back to the LA game.
You got Paul George in there.
Paul George is still in the game. And the Charlotte game, I think Paul George was in there late.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter. My man, especially in the Cleveland game, the game was in hand.
Yeah.
LeBron James came out the game with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Cleveland ain't doing crap without LeBron. They gave up.
Why is your starter still in the game?
I don't know.
Get them the hell out the game. Let them rest that fourth quarter. Give your bench, give your rookie all those minutes. Hell, give Kyle Singler those minutes for all I care. That game was in hand. They were not coming back.
Yeah.
Get them out the game.
Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, I had to go Stephen A. Smith for you. I'm Stephen C. Smith. Get them out the game, bro.
I completely agree 100%.
There's no excuse.
You can check my Twitter feed. If we're having a great game, I'm like, yes, you know, we're up by 20 in the fourth quarter. 20 in the fourth quarter is usually the line that coaches say, okay, I'm not bringing my starters back in this game. This game is well in hand.
Or I'm getting them out early in the fourth.
Exactly, yeah. Just kind of keep it at 20 or keep it at 18, 20, and then around 8 minutes in, be like, hey, okay, it's time to come out. Your name is not Tom Thibodeau. Stop doing that to our players. This whole, you know, bringing Paul George in with the bench, why? I mean, why? Why? I mean, I know you want to go ahead and stabilize it and keep it even keel. Don't do that. You're going to go ahead and mess around and have one of those guys get hurt.
That's how people get hurt, and that's how seasons mm-hmm. go down in the tank.
Yeah. So don't do that anymore, Billy Donovan.
No, please.
your name is not Tom Thibodeau. Don't do that anymore.
Jeez.
All right. So want to move on to some NBA news. Thank you very much. So we have the NBA on NBC theme song playing, but this past week it should have been
It should have been two bells ringing, the ding ding.
What the hell happened this week?
Fight night.
What in the world? It was three straight days of just people.
Instead of celebrating
MLK
peace and all that other stuff. We decided that, A, we needed to get into it with coaches and players.
Yes.
Get ejected.
That was awesome.
And then sneak into the locker room through the back door.
That was awesome.
After the game.
That was, I mean, that. So, okay, so you know what? So we'll come back to this. So that was Monday. So Tuesday, it was Aaron Aflalo swinging on Nemanja Bjelica of the Timberwolves.
And straight swinging.
Just wild swinging.
And he landed.
His forearm not the punch.
Okay, but he landed.
Yeah, he made contact.
In the NBA, when we're talking about fights, it's mostly guys pushing each other.
Yeah.
Aaron Aflalo took a swing, and he landed-ish.
It's an evolution.
Okay?
We're progressing. So,
this is a fight. It is a fight. I don't care what you say. He made the fatal mistake, though. He made the fatal mistake. He ducked his head.
Yeah, he got caught in the head. And he got caught in the chicken wing.
He got caught in the headlock, and he was done.
He
swung with intention of knocking some dude out.
Yep.
And he landed with the forearm.
So, okay.
And then, on top of that, I knew there was a double. That same night, Kyle Lowry and Ben Simmons get ejected.
And then they're like, meet me.
Ben Simmons
catch me outside.
Yo, catch
How
me in the
that?
Hallway. Kyle Lowry was like, for real? And darts off to the locker room. Darts off down the tunnel. Like, oh, I'll meet you there.
And then the next night, Tim Frazier and Michael Carter.
To top that off, at the end of the game, they asked Kyle Lowry about that. And he's like, I don't know. I guess that dude thinks he's something.
Yeah, and then what's his name? Ben Simmons was like, I'm not backing down from anybody. So, okay, so then the next night you had Tim Frazier, Michael Carter-Williams.
Which was a weird one because Tim Frazier wasn't even involved in it.
He just came in at the end.
The center was pushed and by Michael. It was a foul. And then Tim Frazier comes out of nowhere and starts, you know. But again, typical NBA. It's just a lot of huffing and puffing, a lot of chest to face, and nothing actually happening.
So, okay. So I think the genesis of all this was it DeMarcus Cousins and Kevin Durant? This was like in November. You remember that? Like, they got into a scrum and then DeMarcus Cousins went to the locker room and was like screaming at him, telling him, hey, come out.
Yeah, he was waiting for him outside.
He was waiting for him outside. He didn't come out. Okay. So the evolution of the NBA fight, this is starting to turn into like a Jerry Springer type thing where you have a lot of the action on the floor.
And then it spills off to the background.
But then the real action is going on in the back, in the locker rooms, whatever. Okay? So the Houston Clippers game. So it was very chippy from the beginning. A lot of feelings in this game. A lot of emotion in this game.
So D'Antoni claims that Blake Griffin elbowed him. I saw the play. I mean, he's running on the sideline.
He did elbow him.
Yeah, but at the same point in time, I think D'Antoni was egging some things on throughout that game, right? At one point in time, you can see Chris Paul mouth the word B-I-T-C-H towards Blake Griffin.
And then you had Austin Rivers in a boot.
Yeah,
on a suit.
Austin Rivers on the bench.
In a suit on the bench, just talking trash to Trevor Ariza.
Talking noise. So Ariza and Griffin get ejected from the game.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the game, allegedly,
yeah,
Chris Paul leads James Harden, himself, and Trevor Ariza, and Gerald Green to the locker room.
Now, mind you, Gerald Green just joined the team like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But anyways.
To the locker room.
But hold up.
Their bright idea was to send Clint Capella to the front door.
And knock on the front door. The diversion.
So that Chris Paul can lead them to the back door.
The Swiss diversion.
To get in. To the locker room. They Trojan horse their way into the locker room.
They use Clint Capella as a Trojan horse. So apparently, I guess there's a door, a hallway between the two locker rooms. And so not everybody knows about it except for ex-players. And I'm pretty sure everybody in the NBA knows about it because, you know, guys move from team to team all the time.
Yeah.
Apparently on MLK Day, Chris Paul was Harriet Tubman and was leading all these Rocket players over to the Clippers locker room.
Through the underground tunnel.
To the Underground Railroad to do what? I have no idea.
But my thing is, okay, first of all, you're Chris Paul.
You're the president.
You're the president of the Players Association. So Be that as his may.
Regardless.
And we've heard some stuff about Chris Paul, the type of player he is, and maybe he's a little bit of an asshole, right?
A little dirty, too.
Okay, so putting that aside, putting your presidency aside, the people you recruit to go with you
are James Harden.
Into a locker room to start something is James Harden, Trevor Ariza, and Gerald Green.
I'm okay with Ariza.
I can see Ariza's borderline to me.
Yes.
Right? But like, you know, PJ Tucker?
Exactly.
Nene?
Get some bigger guys.
Hell, you sent Clint Capella to the front door.
It should have been James Harden in the front door.
Yeah, you sent, like, those are the dudes you ride with to get into a scrum in the back?
I mean, that's the State Farm's only. That's the State Farm homies right there.
The greatest part about this whole thing is afterwards when Blake Griffin is doing his press conference, one of the reporters asked him about the scrum between him and
Trevor Ariza.
Well, before they got that, they asked him about what he said, and he said, "I only mouth what he said to me,"
mm-hmm.
right? Which was the FUs, right? He said the FUs. I said it right back to him. Then he said she asked him what was said between Trevor Ariza and him, and he was like, "Well, he asked me if I was coming to his birthday party," and I was like, "Yeah, I'll try." That is the greatest answer ever in a post-game conference.
Blake Griffin is, he's destined to have a career in Hollywood after he's done playing.
Oh, he's got a movie coming out.
Oh, he does?
He's in the movie called Female Minds or something like that.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's in that movie.
I mean, like a big role or like cameo NBA player role?
No, I think he's in the movie. Now, to what extent he's in there, but in the trailer, he's got a couple scenes in there.
So, I mean, he's got a couple. I think he's got a couple laugh or die, funny or die skits out there.
Yeah, The Female Brain comes out February 9th, 2018.
Oh, so that's in a couple days.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he's Sofia Vergara, Jane Seymour.
So he's going to be competing with
Cecily Strong, Whitney Cummings.
Oh, okay. That's some funny women right there.
Yeah, and Blake Griffin is in this movie.
Cecily, she's on SNL, right?
Cecily's in SNL. Whitney Cummings had a TV show.
She's an up-and-coming comedian.
There's a Will Sasso. He played one of the Three Stooges comedian. They've got some, and he's definitely in this movie.
Oh, wow.
But that is the greatest answer ever because it's not one of those things where we get like traditional players who are like, you know, what happens on the course?
I was talking mess.
You know, we were just talking trash to each other. He literally comes up with like a whole scenario that it's one of those things like where you people on YouTube take scenes and then they dub over it.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
What should have happened.
That's what it sounds like.
How this movie should have ended.
That is the greatest thing ever.
All right. So we go.
And then the icing on the cake. Chuck and Shaq are dying laughing at the fact that Chris Paul tries to invade the locker room.
That's so funny.
And they're laughing because they know how ridiculous it is. Like Chris Paul, the people that he chose with him. And then this is a head scratcher.
Uh-huh.
So the superstars, James Harden and Chris Paul, no game suspension.
Trevor Ariza, Gerald Green, two games.
Two game suspension.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, hey, you get a little bit of clout for being the president.
They were there to be the peacekeepers. They were trying to talk them down.
Oh, yeah. No,
don't use this door.
It's like, first of all, about the only person that knows about that door is Chris Paul. That's number one. Number two, I'm pretty sure. From what I hear, I think it was Trevor Ariza that was getting into it with Austin Rivers. I think they were getting pretty heated.
Yeah, they were coming.
So
for
I could
him.
See him going in. Gerald Green, I don't know where the hell. Gerald Green's kind of crazy to begin with, so I could kind of see him just kind of going crazy. It wasn't them leading the pack.
I am by no means questioning James Harden's manhood or whatever his status is and stuff like that.
Mm.
But he doesn't seem like that dude.
No, he's not that dude.
He's not that dude. So what is he going to do for you? Was he going to Eurostep?
Eurostep Blake Griffin into a torn ACL.
I'm glad you said that. Blake Griffin literally punched his own friend last year.
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to do to you?
And broke his hand in the process. So he punched him hard enough to break a bone somewhere.
What do you think? If you were able to get in there, what do you think he's going to do to you?
Yeah.
He punched his own friend in the face.
Now, there's no love lost between him and CP3.
So Like, that's just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And I mean, through all this, there's no cameras. There's no, I mean, I've been in a locker room before. And especially like when they let you in for post game interviews, this must have happened like right after the game. This happened, you know,
before the media could come in.
You know, so yeah, that would have been fun to see on video. To see on, you know, I'm pretty sure each of those locker rooms has a camera in there. That would have been awesome to see that. All right, so one more bit of NBA news. So the Hornets apparently have a fire sale going on. So
Kemba Walker on the trading block. They've
made everybody available. Kemba Walker, Dwight Howard, Marvin Williams. Who else? Nicholas Batum. First of all, the Hornets are the victims of the summer of 2016 because they have all these contracts out there, and those contracts look atrocious. The Nick Batum contract still has, I believe, 3 years left on it, about $60 million, 60 plus, at age.
And he's
that aged atrociously.
And he's playing through a separated shoulder.
Yeah, so that hasn't aged very well. Marvin Williams, probably about the only contract that I can look at it and say has some value to it still, because he's still a valuable enough player, but still, it's about $15 million a year. Dwight Howard, 3 years, $70 million. He's had kind of a renaissance a little bit.
Yeah, he's.
But in this NBA, that type of big man, not very useful. The only one on there, Kemba Walker.
Kemba Walker. And what does Kemba Walker land?
Well, I mean, he's going to be, he has a, so his contract is $12 million this year, $12 million next year. So that's a great contract that in is. This day and age. You're getting a good player. So I don't know. I think Cleveland, if Cleveland wants to put one more fight, I think they might have to grab him.
Kemba Walker doesn't make sense to me in Cleveland.
Who does?
Honestly, George Hill, I think, is what really? They need. Yes.
But George Hill has 3 years, 3 years, $60 million on his contract.
I'm not saying he has a great contract. I'm saying for what they need.
A horrible contract.
I'm saying for what they need, I think George Hill is their man.
Here's what I want to say.
Because you know what Hill does? He's like a better version of Dele.
Okay, I can see that. I don't know how far Dele takes you, but okay, I can see
no,
that.
No, but Dele took them. In some games, Dele was that guy that gave you that.
Yeah, I mean, that yeah, I see what you're saying.
To lift you over. And George, look, George has played on San Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, I got you.
He can I think that makes sense for Cleveland.
I would love to see Kemba go to New York. First of all, he loves New York. He loves playing in that arena. That's number one. But number two, I just think him, Porzingis, Cantor, I think you start to form a nucleus there. With those players.
Well, you know where I think I'd like him better at?
Where?
Indiana.
Ooh.
Walker, Oladipo, Sabonis.
Miles Turner.
Turner.
Yeah, that would be pretty good too. Ah, it's interesting. But I tell you what, he's gonna fetch him a nice little ransom.
Oh yeah.
Kemba Walker, especially with the affordableness of his contract, number one. Number two, him being a good player and point guard, not necessarily being of need, but a good point guard could be a difference on the team, you know, wanting to make a step forward. So, yeah, I think first-round picks as far as young players.
Okay, so in your scenario, he goes to the Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Does Cleveland give up that Brooklyn pick?
I think you have to. I mean, it all depends on if Cleveland wants to go all in this year.
But even if they want to go in, I don't think they're not going to part with that because there's no certainty that LeBron is coming back.
They have no other assets. I'm sorry, they don't.
Kyle Korver?
Yeah, what are you going to dangle?
How has that guy lost his shot?
Iman Shumpert? No, I saw him in the game, and he was just like he put up a couple shots. And
how is Kyle Korver was the sharpshooter assassin, and he got to Cleveland, and it's just like not been what they expected.
Yeah, but I mean, Cleveland has no assets. The only asset they have,
is
Brooklyn's pick.
Which is why that deal with DeAndre Jordan hasn't happened because the Clippers want that pick.
Yeah, they want that pick,
and the new management is not going to get rid of that pick because they have no idea where LeBron stands.
Yeah, that's true. So,
and if I were them, I wouldn't do it either.
I mean, February 8th is coming up real soon, and it's going to be real fun to see where some of these players end up and the types of transactions that happen to take these type of players.
So now that you brought that up, do you like it? They basically moved the trade deadline up by 1 week.
Yeah.
Do you like it? Do you think it's going to work out?
I think it's, I mean, it's regardless. I mean,
one of the things I heard is that at least it gives this time, these players time. A little bit more time to acclimate, get things moved, stuff like that.
I think I like it more for the buyout market. Because so the buyout market, you have to be on the team. You have to be off of your current team by March 1st. You can sign with whatever team you want after March 1st. But let's say you're on a team you don't want to be on and you get released March 5th, you can't be on any playoff rosters at all. So you're just, you know, you're just kind of stuck. So I think it gives it more time to kind of evaluate the buyout market after the trade deadline. But as far as the time, a week difference for traded players, I don't think it's that big of a difference. I mean, it just gives you time. I think they did it to where it happens before the All-Star break, not after the All-Star break. And so it gives it a little bit more time to, you know, join a team, have more time to. I guess the NBA did it so that players that are traded have that All-Star weekend to, if they have to move, they have to get their stuff. They right. have a little bit more right. time to do that. But, yeah, I mean, it's no big difference as far as player chemistry and things of that nature. So do you have anything else?
I don't. I'm good.
I don't have anything else. I hope the Thunder continue on their winning ways. You know, we got, let's see, we got Brooklyn coming up on Tuesday. What else?
Thursday we have Washington at home.
Yeah, we got Washington coming up a couple times this week.
So we play Washington on Thursday, and then we play them again on the road on next Tuesday.
Yeah, so this week we got Brooklyn, Washington, and then Detroit, Philly, at Detroit, and then Philly at home, back to back on Saturday and Sunday. So
that
it could be a challenging week.
That Washington game mm-hmm. is going to be the city jersey game.
Oh, that's the one where the gray jerseys come out.
Okay. The Washington game.
The Washington game. Oh, okay. Well, hey, I guess we'll have a lot to talk about next week, as far as, you know, the games coming up. But until then, make sure that you're following us on Twitter. Make sure that you are following the podcast on NowThat'sThunderBasketball.com. But other than that, make sure that you're leaving a 5-star review on iTunes for our podcast. It really helps out the ratings, and it really helps kind of our ranking on the total podcast, you know, within that network. But other than that, you guys have yourself a safe week, and we will talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
All right.